Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Spectres, the war is almost over. We're almost there. This is episode number 4 of Krogan trying to kick some corporate butt, or I guess the corporate's trying to kick the Krogan butt, but they get their own butts kicked, and it goes back and forth. But hey, we get to find out what happens at the end of this story. I'm super excited. I'm Tom. Sam's here as well. Sam, how's it going?
It's going well, and just so that we're clear, actually, we will not have the final portion of the story, because just wait.
Oh, there's still more. I looked through the notes, and I was like, oh, wait, this must be the end. This has got to be the end, right?
We're getting there, but believe it or not, we are going to have a part 5 of this, and I know that some people, when they see part 1, 2, 3, and 4 of this weird war they never heard about in the lore, they're like, okay, surely part 4 is going to be the end.
Right.
But there is enough butt kicking to go around. So we will have a part 5.
That's my favorite thing. Butts. That was not a good joke. That was all right.
No, someone's laughing.
Someone's like, wait, what? I was going to say like the lore about worlds and wars and things like that. But then I was just like, no, I'm just going to say butts. But yeah, speaking of wars and conflict and things like that, I know we have some more stuff going on. But can you give us a quick recap?
Yeah, of course. So last time we were talking about this, the Krogan and Vorcha state forces, apparently they had successfully executed this bombing of the corporatist command ship Excelsior. But
Excelsior!
Stereotypical nerd name.
Well, isn't that what Stan Lee would always say? He would always say Excelsior anyway.
However, the supreme commander of these corporate forces, Lyra Spate, she was not on board. She was on another ship. She was doing troop inspections at the time, which is kind of sus, to be honest. And then shortly after that, we get this video that goes up on the extranet of Hylot Rund. He's the Krogan clan chief, by the way. He goes in front of a camera and he says just one word. Tag.
right.
But yeah, he's missing an arm. And none of that is explained. So we are all kind of left on this bated breath of like, what is going on? And now we are expecting this overwhelming force in retaliation from the corpse.
Right. Okay. So we've got some other updates. Can I read this next one? Do you mind if I?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go for it.
All right. So this is all the way back from July 31st, 2010. That's when these came out, right? The corporatist forces on Garvug struck back against guerrilla positions today, conducting over 150 house-to-house raids and bombarding 33 targets in the mountainous regions outside of Dazil. Dazil? Dazil?
Dazil? Dazil, I want to say.
Dazil?
Yeah.
Yeah, words. They're hard. Insiders say most of the gunships flying attack sorties were Gungwe Solutions Forces, another tough word. All but one flight of Sonax ships remain grounded, and Binary Helix only fields logistical support staff. Sonax Supreme Commander Lyra Spate denied rumors of a rift between her corporation and the Eco Engineering subsidiaries, saying, now my Alexa's chiming in because I said Echo. I can't say Echo. Saying our command structure is centralized, but our capacity to fight is not. Today is an object lesson in that fact.
Echo is apparently telling Tom here, what were you saying bad about corporations, Tom? We can send Sonak sorties to your house in a matter of seconds.
Always listening. Always listening. Did you hear, it's been speculated for years, but that Facebook finally actually confirmed that they listened to our conversations in order to serve us ads?
Like, go figure, right? I wondered how I got ads for things that I've been talking about, but
right, like,
there you go.
How did they know I was looking at ottomans for my couch, right? But it's because it came up. Ottomans for my couch. Facebook, there you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, let's hope that Echo is not forwarding these conversations directly to Sonax, but if it is, then Alexa, play All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. Which, for those who don't know, is an anti-war song. But
yeah, and a cover, and a Bob Dylan cover. A lot of people don't realize it's a cover.
Yes, yes. So I wanted to address this. You just said that 150 house-to-house raids, right?
Yeah.
And bombarding 33 targets in the mountainous regions outside Dzil. That is huge. 150 house-to-house raids. Now, you have to think about this in terms of, like, manpower, right? Mm-hmm. How many people to raid a house? Probably at least six.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have a full squad of individuals for each house raid, sure.
Right. Sure. And assuming they're not just sending the same six people to 150 different houses.
There's probably an entire squad of them. Sure. Yeah.
Assume at least 20 minutes to clear a house and its surroundings. So, I mean, wow, I'm not going to do the math right now, but that is a lot of hours of house raids, a lot of personnel. And then you have to, like, think about all of the different support personnel that are working to line up the laser targeting designations for all of these bombardments, making sure they're getting the right targets, though I'm not too sure if they actually care about that. And all of the ammunition that it takes. I mean, they want this guy gone.
Yeah,
right?
This is a flex. You mess with us, this is what you get. It's also, house raids aren't just to try to find somebody in a house. They're also an act of terror. They're supposed to make your enemy afraid of what you're capable of doing and the fact that you're not really concerned with scaring or hurting civilians. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, it is. And I find this really interesting, too, that it says insiders, so unnamed insiders are talking to Cerberus Daily News. Insiders say most of the gunships flying attack sorties were Guanghui Solutions forces. Now, why would they make note of that? Well, the next sentence tells us all but one flight of Sonax ships remained grounded, and Binary Helix only fields logistical support staff. So this is implying that there has been a shift of tactical resource usage away from Sonax Industries and toward Guanghui Solutions. Now, if you remember, not too long ago, we were talking about how Sonax got bought out.
Right, right.
So maybe we're starting to see the effects of new management, right? Management may be a little bit dissatisfied with Lyra Spate and the Sonax forces. They just lost their command ship, right? Mm-hmm. And so now, okay, Guanghui, maybe you take it. But regardless of what's really going on behind the scenes, I think this speaks volumes when you said that Sonax Supreme Commander Lyra Spate denied rumors of a rift.
Yeah, usually something doesn't have to be addressed unless it needs to be addressed. And it's one of those, it's like, you don't have to tell everyone in town that you're the best hamburger in town unless you aren't, you know? Like, if you are, then everyone should know and you don't have to advertise it.
Right. What is that called when you try and deny something and it ends up making it more of a story? Is that the Barbara Streisand effect or
something like that?
What is that? It's something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of feels like what's going on here with Spate denying these rumors and saying, you know, our command structure is centralized, but our capacity to fight is not. Today's an object lesson in that fact. Okay. Well, you had been flying sorties apparently before, but now Guanghui is picking up the slack, but you failed to mention why. You know, that's not really explaining why. So I feel like this might be the first inklings that maybe these three corporations aren't as tight-knit as they seem.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Here, we'll just keep rolling. I'll read them. You respond. We'll roll with it. New statements by Binary Helix representatives regarding unusual ordnance on the planet Garvug are pointing to a lack of unity among the corporatist alliance. Quote, our corporation profits from robust alien ecosystems, said Deputy Oversight Director Grigory Petrenko, criticizing Sonex for its use of what they speculate to be chemical warheads. Quote, dropping nerve gas is not only useless but counterproductive. The concentrations necessary to kill a Krogan or Vorcha will kill everything else downwind. Sonex Supreme Commander Lyra Spate responded mere minutes later, denying the criticism was based in fact. Quote, Petrenko was speaking hypothetically and quoted out of context. Chemical weapons are militarily and politically unfeasible, and so we aren't using them in our munitions, she said. This isn't the 20th century. I love that reference to the 20th century chemical warfare, especially during like World War II. Another one of these moments of like, if you have to deny it, then maybe there's more to the story.
It sounds like their PR teams are not working together. That's kind of what it sounds like. Right. At least it sounds like the other corporations, maybe they're just considering dumping Sonex because Sonex stock share was so bottomed out, right? That's how they got bought out. And now they're doing this other shit where the other corporations are well aware of the bad PR that will come from dropping chemical warheads. They know there's journalists around. So they're probably trying to get ahead of the story by sending out this Grigory Petrenko person and saying, yeah, we don't condone that, by the way. Even though this is the Terminus Systems, even though these are corporations, they have like no accountability whatsoever.
Right. Right.
They are still accountable to their bottom line. And so I find it really interesting that her verbiage, Lyra Spate's verbiage, saying that chemical weapons are militarily and politically unfeasible. Not that they would never do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, here's an excuse for, here's a reason why we wouldn't do it, but without actually saying you wouldn't do it.
Right, and yeah. Then she does say we aren't using them in our munitions. Well, okay, that doesn't rule out that anyone's not using them in their munitions, and I feel like this could be doublespeak too, because they... So we knew from other corporations that they cared about the infrastructure. They cared about other things on the planet that they wanted to preserve.
Right.
Who's to say that these chemicals won't outlast the Krogans and the Vorcha, even if they kill them? And right. They clearly want to preserve some level of viability on the planet.
Right. Right. It also could be the sort of thing where even if they are using them, they're not using them in their munitions specifically, but they are delivering them in other means. And so it's a way of saying like, oh, yeah, well, we're not using them like this. Like you would expect us to use them like this. We're not doing that.
Technically.
Technically.
Yeah. They could be putting down just crates of the chemical weapons and then hitting them with those bombardments.
Or just flying things over top of the areas and dropping them out of the planes. Like, why put them in munitions when you can just bombard them from the sky or from orbit? They don't have to explode. They just have to land on the target and then kill things. Like...
Right. And this is interesting, too, because, of course, it could just be a flat out lie. Like, like it could just be that they are including them in their munitions. But it's interesting that Binary Helix, this, genetic engineering firm, is the one that's putting out this statement. Grigory Petrenko saying this. And Sonax, the more militarized one, is saying, oh, we didn't do that. But so anyway, it really does seem like there is either A, this growing rift between the corporations where they're not working as closely together as they previously did, or B, that this is a ploy.
Or both.
That they're using the press.
Or both. It could be both.
Yes, it could very well be both. But why... So why would one of these corporations decide that they want to use chemical weapons if part of their goal was eco-engineering the planet? That this planet had such a unique biosphere,
because right? Each corporation has different things they want to get out of the deal. That's why. So if one of the corporations wants to maintain the infrastructure, then that's a priority for them. But if that's not the same priority for the other two corporations, then they don't care if that's a casualty in this exchange, because they still get what they want. In fact, that might be the underpinning for some of this conflict and messaging. In fact, there may even be, like you suggested in the previous one, kind of a certain contentiousness between them about who's actually in control of what's going on, because all three of them are supposed to be cooperating, but who's actually making the calls? Are they all just acting on their own and then filling each other in after they do stuff, and now they've got to clarify the messaging? Like, what's actually going on there?
Yeah, can you imagine three CEOs saying, no, I'm the boss.
Right.
No, I'm the boss.
Right. Oh, those idiots over there think that they're the reason why we're here is for that. Well, we don't care about that, so we're going to do this anyway. You know, like, that's exactly what CEOs would do, right?
Yeah. And now there's a new CEO, right? What was the holdings company named? I can't remember it now. We just addressed it in part three.
Yeah. Anyway,
but there's a new holdings company, which sounds like a hedge fund. So maybe they're like, look, Sonax, you weren't getting results fast enough. It's time to ratchet this up. And maybe that's why, if they were doing it, maybe that's why they were doing it.
Yeah, could be. Could be. Yeah, there's definitely hints of complexity, and it's kind of smartly laid out. Whoever wrote all of this understands how this stuff can work.
And by the way, this isn't even addressing all of the humanitarian concerns, for lack of a better word, of using chemical weapons on the Vorch, or the Vorch and the Krogan, whose world this is.
Right.
Even Binary Helix, their statement says, our corporation profits from robust alien ecosystems. Dropping nerve gas is not only useless, but counterproductive. And then goes into how it's just going to kill everything else downwind of the Vorch and Krogan, not to mention at all, they don't mention at all that it's wrong to kill the to kill the Vorch and the Krogan with chemical agents.
Right. You can clearly see what their priority is. Like, our priority is our profit margins and doing things that are you know, logical and make sense for us. But being morally upstanding, they don't even address that.
And don't even address the fact that they are Citadel space-based corporations either. And if they did this on a Citadel space world, it would violate many different conventions that have been around that regulate the use of chemical weapons, I'm sure.
Right. And then they wonder why, like, the Turians don't trust humans. Or, you know, like, because of stupid crap like this.
Well, the Turians would totally do the same thing if they wanted, they, you know, overwhelming force doctrine and whatnot.
Yeah, but the idea of, like, going, like, skirting the, like, oh, well, we'll do it in one of the systems where we don't have, you don't have authority. Like, that doesn't make you feel good about what these people are doing in the systems where you do have authority that you don't know about, right? Like,
right.
It makes you wonder, at least. So there is that side of it.
It does. I do want to get into more of the humanitarian part of it, but this next one, this next dispatch from Cerberus Daily News, I mean, man, so this, I guess, is a trigger warning for pretty brutal tactics. You want to read this one?
I can do it. Okay. A controversial vid is making its way across the extranet, causing PR trouble for the corporatist forces on Garvug. The vid shows Sonax Industries soldiers executing nearly a dozen Krogan, alleged guerrilla sympathizers. Notice they didn't say warriors, sympathizers, who defy their captors to literally their last breaths before they are pushed into a mass grave. When the vid first hit the extranet yesterday, Sonax's stock price dipped dramatically, but at this hour, it seems to have recovered and even jumping up 0.4 credits per share. What we're seeing here is a deeply disturbing trend, says senior news analyst Hannibal Brown. Hannibal? Were this a vid of Krogan killing humans, Systems Alliance politicians would be saber-rattling left and right. But the perception is that all Krogan are warriors, or at least able to defend themselves. Their execution is being treated as the cost of doing business on Garvug. I mean, if this doesn't give you pictures in your head of, I mean, images, terrible war images you've seen of mass graves and things like that, I don't know. I mean,
and this senior news analyst, Hannibal Brown, aptly named, I guess, but this senior news analyst, I mean, this is the writers directly talking to us about how we should feel, I think. The perception that all Krogan are warriors, or at least able to defend themselves. I mean, this is the implicit racism that is going on, if you want to call it racism, you know, xenophobia, speciesism, that's going on against the Krogan, and the perception of how they're being treated. But they're being pushed into mass graves. I mean, this is horrendous.
Well, it's horrendous because they're murdering, and like, there's a few levels to this, right? These are not warriors. These are sympathizers. They've very clearly stated these are sympathizers, but they find them to be dangerous, and so they murder them anyway. But then they throw them into a mass grave, which is a method of being efficient and also not respecting the lives or the beliefs of the people who were killed. If you actually had any care in the world, you would find a way to address their death in ways that were appropriate to their culture. But no, you dump them in a mass grave like they're garbage going off to the garbage heap, and that's it. You fill it up, they're done.
Not to mention just executing people who have apparently, you know, surrendered. It sounds like they're verbally defying their captors, but they're no threat.
Yeah, I mean, you can picture this in your mind, right? Like, the Krogan are like, all right, we give in, but you guys are a bunch of tools, blah, 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 and, like, yelling back at them, but, like, we're not going to fight, but they tell you what we think.
Go fuck yourself.
Right. We'll tell you what we think, but we're not going to fight anymore. You got us. You know, like, that's threatening because they're Krogan, and so now you just have the right to kill them.
I'm also just imagining, you know, all of these house raids that they were conducting. These sympathizers could very well be people who were just harboring the, you know, resistance fighters, and they found them. Mm-hmm. They killed the resistance fighters, but now they're executing these people who are helping them hide. And it's just insane to me that there's any level of, I guess, apathy in Citadel space toward this. Like, you know, Hannibal Brown brings up a good point here, saying that if this were a video of Krogan killing humans, like, all hell would break loose.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's that distance where, oh, they're not us, they're other, and
it's happening somewhere else.
It's happening somewhere else. It's those people are different than us. In fact, they're not even really people. Like, it's that whole otherness thing, and we've talked about this on the show before, that, like, is way too human, and people do this to justify war and conflict all the time, or political movements. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that people leverage this, is to dehumanize, or in this case, depersonize the people you're killing, the people you're against.
There could have been multiple reasons for this stock Sonex's stock dipping dramatically, because it says it dips dramatically, but then recovers to 0.4 credits per share. That could have been a stock buyback. That mm-hmm. could have been any number of different mass actions from just a few individuals. I'd like to think that it dipped dramatically because a large number of investors sold off and right. then did not buy back in.
Right.
But at this point, who knows? And it is happening on Garvug, this backwater Krogan colony, where it doesn't seem like anyone's really going to step in. So these corporations are able to run roughshod over the local population, who they've successfully, apparently, convinced the press to report as guerrilla fighters mm-hmm. and insurgents and warriors, right. even though right. they are just defending their own home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
from corporate greed. It's insane. This feels like
it feels like the Russians complaining
in real time.
It feels like the Russians complaining about Ukrainians who fight back and being like, "Oh, we're the victims now." That's what this feels
yeah.
like. It's the same exact messaging of like, "Oh, well, they're the ones attacking us."
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like in this situation there is no way for the Krogan or the Vorcha to launch a counteroffensive inside corporate land, right?
Right. Yeah, the details are different now because of the way the Ukrainian war has changed, and Ukrainians are now on Russian soil on some of the conflict. But previous to that, you go back months, and even then, the Russian messaging was, "Oh, well, they're the ones attacking us. We're the ones in the right. We're defending ourselves. I can't believe they're doing this," like that kind of thing. And that's
yeah, that's it's disturbing. Gaslighting for sure. But notice we don't even get a defense like of their behavior from Lyra Spate. There's no quote from Lyra Spate in this dispatch. Mm-hmm. There's literally like last time with the chemical weapons, she just categorically denied it. This time there's no defense of it. I think that they're just like, well, the sooner we don't comment, the sooner the story will die.
Or maybe we just need to stop commenting because we keep on digging a hole. That could be it, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bad. And I don't know if there were already protests outside of corporate headquarters before. Imagine what it's like now. Or maybe those people in Citadel space near those corporate headquarters are feeling a little bit of war fatigue. They're feeling desensitized. Maybe by this point in the war, they're just not reacting the same way they did.
Yeah, yeah. It has been going on for a long time, so there's definitely that. Well, we've got some more to get to, but first we have to go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back and we will continue because it looks like the Krogan are kind of on the back foot here. We'll have to see if they punch back. Here we go.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Welcome to the middle of the show, friends. This is where we get to thank our patrons for supporting the show. Patreon.com/Mass Effect Lorecast. If you want to check everything out, you get ad-free episodes and t-shirts and stickers, and you can join us for patron chats, all sorts of fun things, and you can even join for free. So if we put any notifications up on there, then you will get them. Also, we have to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons this week. Draco, Edboy, Kiracy, Lieutenant Tucino, Retro Robot, a Retrobot, I always messed that up, Superfly, and William, thank you so much for your support. And thank you to everybody who has supported the show. And thank you to everyone who leaves a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. When we get some new ones, we'll read it out on the next episode, whenever that comes out. So, heck, you could leave one this week. We'll probably read it out next week. You can also rate the show on Spotify, and you can also share it with your friends. All of that stuff is super helpful, and we really do appreciate it. All right, let's move on with the rest of this story and find out what happens next.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, Sam. You want to do the next one?
Yeah, I'll do this one. So this one is not too much of a surprise. You know, we were talking about how there seemed to be this growing rift, and it looks like it's come to fruition now. Here's the dispatch. It says, tonight, a painful but non-literal blow was dealt to corporate forces on Garvug. Well, that's good. I was worried it was literal. on Garvug. Binary Helix, one-third of the triumvirate of corporations fighting guerrilla forces on that planet, is withdrawing their logistical support. Now, as we remember, just a couple dispatches ago, was talking about how Binary Helix only provides logistical support. They're pulling that out now. Quote, we laid out two strategies at our stockholders meeting, and the voting made it clear which we would pursue, said spokesperson Othello Nash. The time has come to end our involvement with partners that are not acting in good faith and to reinvest ourselves in more dynamic markets galaxy-wide. Asked for comment, Sonax Industries Supreme Commander Lyra Spate responded, Sonax's resolve will not waver. We are already reaping profit from this planet. If it is not coming fast enough for Binary Helix, then I'm sure Guanghui Solutions will enjoy taking their share.
This was a, like, throw them under the bus moment. By Binary Helix.
Binary Helix was like, dude, your PR is too bad. It is not even salvageable at this point. We are out. Peace.
Right. Not acting in good faith. Basically was just like corporate speak for these people are liars and they're manipulating everybody and we're done with it. We're moving on. We don't want to be a part of this.
You know how bad of a liar you have to be to hit the bottom line so hard that a partner corporation says you've been acting in bad faith and we're out?
Right. Yeah. Publicly making that a public announcement, not just like, OK, listen, we're done. We're done. Let's just walk our go separate ways. No, this is like a public announcement.
Right. And again, you know, like it's always hard to take these things at face value because it could be a ploy because all of them are liars. Let's not forget all of them went into that planet because they said it was going to be, you know, they first organized a coup because they wanted access to development projects and eco-engineering projects wherever they pleased. When that failed, they decided, hey, we'll just launch a genocide against the Krogan and Vorcha on this planet. It'll be fine. And then the genocide got a little too genocide-y. So Binary Helix was like, I'm out.
It's like, all right, too much genocide for us. Where that level is, who knows, but they hit it. So for some reason there was like a line.
Yeah, I think that they weren't mad about Sonax's tactics. They were mad that Sonax was caught.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. Also, what isn't noted on this one is how much the stocks have changed since the previous one. So you have to wonder if there's some financial pressure as well going on with the people who are investing in them.
Well, yes. And this dispatch is labeled just 4 days after the last dispatch that we were talking about, and that those labels come from the wiki. So I'm not sure if that's when the wiki put those up on their website or when these dispatches originally went up in the game menu.
I think they're game menu would be my guess.
I think so as well. And if that's the case, as we previously discussed, these dispatches are dated corresponding to the time passage in game. Events.
Right. Yeah.
So just 4 days, that's the amount of time it would take for basically corporate leadership to meet with their PR department and plan an exit strategy and then announce it.
Oh, sure.
In a hurry. That's a very hurry decision.
It's very quick, but if it was severe enough, then they could act that fast. All right. So 10 days later, we get the next one. You ready for this
one? Right. Yes, I am.
It says, a corporatist army general is dead on Garvug tonight, and authorities consider the circumstances suspicious. Noah Vardos, a 61-year-old brigadier general, died of a gunshot wound to the head at Gunarsh Army Base in Dazeel. A base-wide alert sounded when the body was discovered, but was canceled a short time later. Vardos served in the Sonax Industries Army and was known to be a close friend of Supreme Commander Lyra Spate. She has that Supreme Commander title again. Spate herself answered few questions about the incident, saying only that his position will be filled by Colonel Oleg Horvat. General Vardos is survived by his three children. No.
Wow.
No, even, yes, this was a terrible accidental situation, or we were infiltrated by an assassin. No justification. And on top of that, no, like, I'm sorry for him, his family, and like, none of that.
No, this is the, if you've ever heard people who warn you about unchecked power, this is the ultimate byproduct of unchecked power. They don't even have to answer to anyone, and they know it. And there's no justification. He's dead. Whatever. Moving on. It really is super suspicious, and we're being intentionally led to believe that Lyra Spate had something to do with his death.
Or just put the gun to his head herself.
Or killed
him. Could have just been like, Commander, I need you in my office. Or general, he was a general, right? Brigadier general.
Right. I'm surprised they didn't just go with the defenestration. You know, I mean, like,
right,
just
out the window.
As the cherry on top.
Just toss him out the window.
He was complaining of poor balance, you know, in the days led up to his death, and then they had an open window in that night, and I'm just, man, Brigadier General, what are you going to do? Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking about Russia, for anybody who doesn't know, there are a number of individuals who have been defenestrated by Putin, most likely.
Which means pushed out a window, but right, yes, right. Just for those who didn't know, but...
Right, there are a few situations where it's like, that seems like the likely cause, and if not him, by him directly, by somebody who probably worked for him, but like, ugh.
Yeah. Also, Brigadier General, that's a one-star general and not a low rank to like balk at. This is a guy who would have been privy to very high-level intelligence within the Sonax Industry Army. And my guess is probably knew a lot about what they were doing on the planet, maybe had qualms about the way that it was going. And if that stood at odds with corporate leadership, that's not good because...
Right.
Again, there's no accountability.
Yeah. Also, a lot of responsibility. So had this brigadier general commanded a recent mission that went south, didn't work out, or put them in a tough situation, and all of a sudden got to deal with that. Like, Lyra Spade's not happy. You were the person in charge. Well, got to make it clear to everyone else that they better not mess up.
You know, at the beginning of this, like near the beginning of this series of episodes, we were talking about it. I think you likened it to like the corporation's Vietnam. And it really feels like it's trending that way because we're seeing disunity among the forces. We're now seeing scandals break. It just seems like this is going to end in ruin for the corporations. And at this point, also the Krogan and Vorcha, who are going to be left completely, not even decimated. Decimated means one out of 10 dead.
Right.
This seems more like it's going to be half of them dead, at least. And who knows who's going to be king of the ashes at this point. But there's more to cover, right?
Yeah. Well, why don't you take the next one?
Sure. So the next dispatch comes a day afterward, and it says, new information in the death of Brigadier General Noah Vardos has raised more questions than answers. Colonel Richard Hawk, so his name's Dick Hawk, okay, Colonel Dick Hawk. I got it. Don't worry, writers. I got it. Overseeing security at the Hunarsh base where the general died from a gunshot wound said that no inquiry into security procedures is planned at this time. No suspect leads are reported, and the GBC News has acquired an e-memo sent out to all senior base personnel warning of strict consequences if any personnel talk to the press. Who the fuck is GBC News, by the way? But... I don't know.
But still, like, this absolutely reinforces everything we just talked about. This whole, like, listen, we're not doing an investigation. We are not reporting anything. And it reinforces the thing you said about how we can just get away with that. We can do whatever we want. And we don't have to justify it. So everyone just shut up and let's just be quiet about it and move on.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like maybe some of these corporate leaks that we were hearing about earlier, insiders, yada, 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 maybe that was coming from Binary Helix, since they were the only corporation that seemed to have some kind of conscience at the time.
Oh, maybe.
And now maybe. That the whistleblowers are gone,
yeah.
Who cares?
But what if this Brigadier General was trying to step in and try, like, maybe they found out that he was going to release some information that shouldn't be released, or was going to was standing up against something that they wanted to do because he all of a sudden grew some morals or something, and then that's why they had him offed.
Maybe. I mean, there's any number of motives here. It could just be typical dictator stuff, like, you failed me for the last time, you know? And wow, that's a really poor reference today, but...
So it's like Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe. Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. So, anyway, R.I.P. James Earl Jones. But yes, that... I mean, it could be any number of motives. It could just be trying to shore up loose ends from the corporation. It could be that this guy had simply failed them for the last time and they weren't going to accept it. Mm-hmm. It could have been that this guy had a conscience. It could have been that this guy, any number of things. But the sad part is we probably won't know the truth because they're threatening strict consequences of anyone talking to the press. There's really no impartial government over this world.
Right.
The Krogan and the Vorcha.
Right.
They probably don't know the intricate details of what was going on there. But I'll tell you one thing. I bet you Spectres do. Oh. Spectres are privy to pretty much the highest levels of security clearance in the galaxy. I wouldn't be surprised if there was at least one Spectre tasked with at least just monitoring this.
Yeah, just checking in, maybe going to the planet, see what's going on.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
That would be a cool story. Can you imagine that as like a side game? Or, I mean, I've talked about, this goes on to other things that I've talked about, like conversations I've had with Lotus of Doom on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. With games like Bethesda's games, Todd Howard has said things like, when it came to Skyrim, he wants it to be a platform, he wants the next Elder Scrolls to be a platform, he wants Starfield to be a platform, things that'll last 10, 20 years that people can continue to iterate on. And in the future of their development, maybe they will stick around and add more DLCs over time on purpose and kind of play that out longer, because a lot of their games, just like the Mass Effect games, only got so many DLC over like the next year or two or whatever, and then was done and they were done, right? But can you imagine, they just put out Legendary Edition a few years back. Can you imagine if they released a DLC that was you as some other Spectre, maybe you make the character and you go to Garvug and you investigate what's going on, and you have like a 4 to 6 hour adventure on the planet dealing with corporatists and Krogan and things like that. People would eat that up. People would buy that.
I feel like it's not, you know, it's not precluded that could also be referenced in the next Mass Effect. You know, maybe there will be some Garvug reference here. They've written an awful lot of lore just to toss it away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, though, with how BioWare is, I would kind of expect it to come more from, like, one of those mod authors that we know.
Absolutely,
who have
absolutely
made so many content-adding mods, a lot of text-based RPG progressions and side planets.
But it also doesn't seem like that much extra work if you happen to have a small team that was working on some side project and just finished up the side project and just be like, hey, listen, let's just design some new stuff. Let's just take a lot of the assets that we already have, because we already have them. We already reworked the games. We already worked it out for Legendary Edition. Let's just take what we can, and we'll spend a year in development, and then we'll put this up for $20, and people can buy it. It seems, I mean, people would spend $20 on more.
I think people would. People would, but I also think that just from what I've learned, I feel like BioWare is so strapped for staff at this point that they probably have to focus completely on Veilguard and pre-production of Mass Effect right now.
It seems like such an easy cash in, though. Like, if you could do something like that, if you could throw something like that together in a year with a minimal staff, the amount that you would sell would be like significantly more than the cost to make it. It just seems, I mean, and obviously I'm not in the industry. I don't work for these developers. I don't know for sure, but it just feels like the kind of thing that, like, yeah, people would buy that.
Yeah. Or perhaps even a DLC that drops not long before the next Mass Effect does.
Sure.
And that links those two.
Yeah. Like a transitional one. Yeah, absolutely. Like a prelude to whatever's going to happen next. That kind of hints at some of the things. Maybe you play as Liara. You know, like,
or even they did this before, you know, like an interactive comic.
Yeah,
that could very well be in the cards. Who knows? Yeah. But, you know, there is an answer, at least somewhat of an answer, that we get about this General Noah Vardos. And it comes not too long afterward, just one day afterward. The next dispatch says, in a galactic exclusive, GBC News has acquired a copy of the suicide note of General Noah Vardos, who died earlier this week from what is now believed to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Okay, so it takes them how many days to find the suicide note? Which where in relation to his body?
Right.
The three-page note jumped from topic to topic, with the general blaming himself for pursuing but not catching three Krogan who escaped off-planet and who are now believed to have perpetrated the warp bomb attack on Sonak's command. Vardos described the worsening situation on the planet as a, quote, Charlie Foxtrot, and took responsibility for the men and women he had, quote, gotten killed for half a credit a share. Sonax Industries has not commented on the suicide note.
It's tricky because it's one of those situations where, I mean, it sounds fishy, but it also sounds possible at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So just for those who don't know, Charlie Foxtrot is slang in the military for total chaotic situation. It's shorthand for clusterfuck.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it is. And so basically he was saying that he got all of these people killed for, remember you said 0.4 credits a share. That's how much it jumped up. That's what he saw afterward. And apparently, according to the suicide note, which is very conspicuously written and conspicuously found, according to this, he blamed himself for how much of a chaotic situation this was, that they died for virtually nothing, and then he killed himself. I don't know. I mean, this is a very convenient scapegoat for the corporation to appease its investors, who might read this and think, oh, well, this wasn't really the corporate command's fault that Excelsior, you know, blew up.
Right. And this and now it's fault. Been taken care of. They don't have to worry about this anymore because somebody else is going to be in charge. Yeah. Also, it does seem like they are still speaking corporate speech with him being concerned about how much money and how much profit was made by through the actions of the military, rather than, hey, I thought I was doing the right thing, but I realized we're not. Like,
yeah, or even just like I messed up and I got my troops killed.
Right. That wouldn't have been enough. It would have been enough to be like, you know what? I made a bad call and I got a lot of good people killed and I just can't live with it. That would have been a fine justification by itself.
Yeah, the half a credit a share is kind of like
that's corporate speech.
He was thinking about stock prices.
I mean,
that's what he was thinking about.
They are mercenaries. You have to wonder, like, was this guy not necessarily paid so much as he was given shares of the company with the idea that, like, if he succeeded, he would be wealthy?
It's to me, yeah, that's possible. But to me, this reads more like he is blaming himself, quote unquote, mm-hmm. these aren't the things he's blaming himself for. This is what the corporation is blaming him for.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, you let these Krogan escape off planet, and you only got us half a credit to share. And so they're pinning it from his perspective and being like, and I got these people killed for just half a credit to share.
Right,
like,
right, right.
It just sounds like projection to the highest degree.
It sounds like more like what the management cares about than what an individual would care about. Yeah.
And I took one too many 15-minute bathroom breaks.
Right, right.
I feel terrible about that.
Yeah. All right, so the story's not over.
No, it's not over, and that's why I said that this was going to be like, there's going to be a part five, and this was just a little departure, I guess, from the mainline story on the war front on Garvug, because now we're just seeing these rifts that are opening up in the corporate forces, and I feel like maybe this is leading to a total collapse of their war front. We don't know. Right. There is established lore. If you want to read ahead, you can.
You can read ahead. Sure.
But
and at this point in the story, right. We don't know.
Yeah. And it does go on for quite some time. I'm going to try and condense it as much as I can into part five, because I don't know if like our listeners have the desire or the appetite for part six or part seven or part 16. But if they do, then, you know, guys, let us know, because we'd love to hear about it. All I've seen so far online is discourse talking about, oh my God, do they really have a part four?
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it keeps on going. I thought maybe this was the end. I thought it was like, oh, people are killing themselves, and that's going to be like the, well, that was too much, and then they backed out and everything else was done. Like, but I guess I haven't spoiled it for myself, because I've been having fun like learning this as we go. So I guess we'll have to find out what happens next.
Oh, and honestly, I've been learning about this as we go too. I have deliberately not read ahead.
It's more fun that way. It's more fun to be like in the moment rather than like, and I think this is something that's good for our listeners to know as well. When we make predictions and we say, hey, what if this is actually going on? We're doing so only knowing the current notes. Like, we don't know what's later on in the story because we haven't spoiled it for ourselves, because that's more fun. And it also, like, if we did spoil it for ourselves and we're like, well, what happens if this happens next? That's like, well, you guys already read it. You knew that was coming.
And it just doesn't, you know, in the words of other entertainers, it doesn't make for good TV, right?
Right.
Like, it doesn't. So what I've tried to do, and ultimately I do know one detail about how it ends because I accidentally spoiled it for myself while I was researching these things, but I haven't looked at how things end. So, yes, if you're watching these and you already know more than us, then you already know more than us. That's just how it is. But I wanted to keep our reactions organic, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been having fun getting through this too. It's also a nice change from the actual game and the stories that you do know because you've played through and all of that. Like, to be able to have something go, well, I don't know what's going to happen next. This is fun. So,
and it's just crazy that they went this in depth into like a storyline that was only appearing on that little like menu laptop, you know, that they went this in depth for so long about this extended lore that I don't really know how many people know. I mean, this is like really super fan stuff, if you would know this. So pat yourself on the back if you already know this entire Garvug storyline, because I think you might be one of like 10% maybe of the fan base. I don't know. I pulled that number out of my butt, but
yeah. Well, that's my favorite thing, butts. And now that we've come full circle on this episode, it's time to wrap it up. This has been a lot of fun.
Round conversation.
Round conversation. You know, it just fits my hand just right. That doesn't have an analogy. I was just making a butt reference about putting a butt in my hand. You got anything else you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, of course. So part four, I believe, part four of the Avengers audio drama that I was talking about, I think that's up now. I'm recording lines for part five, back in my role as Jarvis. You might also hear me as another side role in another Avengers audio drama.
Black Widow?
Marvel thing.
Are you?
Not Black Widow, although my butt was good enough to get me cast as Black Widow. not Black Widow. No, it's a small side role as a general. I don't know what the situation on that is. So stay tuned. And I might be trying out for some other voice actor roles, but in besides all that, I am streaming Mass Effect, my canon, headcanon playthrough every Saturday. I'm now doing my middle of the week streams on Thursdays, just because Wednesdays are terrible commute days for work. They're the worst.
Yeah,
it's like an hour and a half to get home. I don't have much time when I get home. So doing that on Thursdays. So on Thursdays, come by if you want to see Ghost of Tsushima. I'm streaming that, but I also streamed Age of Mythology Retold. You know, that just came out. Streamed that last week.
Yep.
Huge Age of Mythology fan. If you want to see any of those games, give me a follow on Twitch or Twitter at N7 The Legend.
Awesome. Yeah. And of course, on my other shows, follow Lorecast, Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the Starfield Lorecast, which will be coming back because the expansion comes out in just a few weeks. We'll be doing more episodes of that very soon. And then the Lord of the Rings Lorecast has been popping off with Rings of Power and all that stuff. I've got my perspectives on all of those things, each of the episodes, all that stuff. If you want to go check that out, it's up on the Lord of the Rings Lorecast feed, robustradio.net, if you want links for everything, and or you can just search whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on. And we'll be back next week, so excited for that, for the end of the story finally, he says. Perhaps, probably not. Yeah, but also come hang out with me. I've been trying to stream more during the days and the afternoons where I've been playing games and things like that. A lot of Fallout 4 with the crowd control mod so people can spawn things into my game, and it has gotten super weird, so that'll be fun if you want to check that out. But thanks for hanging out, everybody. We appreciate that you're here, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at MassEffectLorecast@gmail.com.